This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Supplement. Hurrah! Well, you know,
it always sounds so lackluster when introducing this show. It is basically, hooray, oh God.
Well, we always record it in the morning, and the morning just doesn't energise me.
Simon, the afternoon doesn't energise, the evening doesn't, I never see you energised unless you've eaten a whole pound of sherbet.
I had Weetabix this morning and it depressed me.
Why did Weetabix depress you?
Because my cat used to sit next to me and beg for the milk from the Weetabix.
You have milk left from Weetabix. Weetabix absorbs milk. Weetabix is a sponge for milk.
But I got into the habit of putting too much in so he could have some. So now I just end up with a bowl full of milk that I don't want and no cute cat to give it to.
You must use a gallon of milk.
It's a lot of milk, yeah.
Would Canadians understand what Weetabix is, Simon? Would they even comprehend the glory? A Weetabix is basically an ancient wicker mobile phone.
What Weetabix are you eating?
Not like proper wicker, but more so like it's been stamped on. Basically, like the sorts of poo you find from a herd animal.
So what paper have you bought this week, Izzy?
The Observer.
Right. Any particular reason?
It has, like, Woman magazine and the best women in it and stuff, but I haven't read that bit.
Okay. I bought The News of the World.
Really?
Yeah, this is a total mismatch, isn't it? This is like me getting into a boxing ring.
That is exactly what it is like. You are entirely defenceless. Unless you somehow grow spines and cower.
I liken it to getting into a boxing ring with you, in the sense that that's a mismatch, because you'll just bat your eyelids and then punch me in the bollocks.
I wouldn't punch you, I'd kick you in the bollocks.
I thought we were doing tabloids this week for some reason, so I bought a tabloid.
But I texted you when I bought my paper.
So yeah, The News of the World versus The Observer.
That titanic battle.
This is going somewhere.
This is not going to stop. We have started something that's going to escalate into a war.
Okay, this is Cut Out and Keep, where we decide who's got the best bits of paper somewhere.
In their supplements.
Yeah, I got
best the articles that you can find in your supplements. Simon, what's yours? In the News of the World.
I got two, actually.
Yeah. Two whole supplements?
Well, no, two whole articles that are worth talking about. So anyway, the first one's A Fabulous Attitude by Virgin Radio's Sarah Champion. And she's basically talking about fame, which sounds like it's going to be really fatuous and annoying. But it's not. She's talking about people who have talent and earn their fame by working their way up through some sort of system. Tend to be very nice people and don't care too much about fame. Whereas people who get fame from reality TVs tend to be very, very, very annoying.
Well, surely it's about, you know, how secure you feel in your fame. If you see fame as a byproduct.
Well, here's the thing. She actually does use that. She says, for me, fame is a byproduct of talent, and only the truly talented should be entitled to the perks of being famous. That's where I disagree with. How can you have a perk of being famous?
I do think, though, that I'd rather be respected than I would goggled at, I suppose. But I think all of these gripes we have about fame is to do with the fact that we are monkeys and we like to look at other monkeys doing silly things and judge. And I think that's perfectly normal. And that's what we used to have a royal family for. That's what we still have a royal family for. But, you know, the aristocracy used to do it. Now Paris Hilton does it.
Fair enough. And the other one I've got is about Freegans. And that's not a race of Star Trek aliens.
Hey, Simon. Yeah. Simon, did you know in Star Trek, Jean-Luc Picard has three ears? Because he's got his left ear, and he's got his right ear, and he's got his final front ear.
Oh, God. Yes! I love eating other people's rubbish.
Do you?
It's about dumpster diving.
That's wrong.
Freeganism is called. Freeganism basically is people who jump into bins to find the rubbish food that supermarkets have thrown out. And as an article, it's not that interesting, but it's more interesting about how much food supermarkets chuck out, really.
It's quite a lot. I mean, that's why food is quite expensive still.
Don't they throw out more than they sell every day?
Yeah.
Have I I don't know if I made that statistic up, but it's a good one. I might as well have made it up.
Yeah, well done, well done. That is a statistic I'll believe and agree with. No, they don't throw things out every day, because not everything goes off every day. But they do throw out a lot of food, because food's very, 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 very plentiful at the moment. We live in times of goodness. Yeah, it's not so good if you're a farmer, of course. But farmers are only happy if people are starving to death anyway, so fuck them.
But they do other things, these freegans. They also, like, decorate their house with things that they found in skips.
They have houses.
Yeah.
What, they decorate their boxes by the motorway? Sure.
No. They're not tramps, Isabel. They're people
I wouldn't No. You shouldn't. That's really politically incorrect, Sammy. Don't call them tramps. You call them the homeless or freegans. By the way, every time you say freegans, I think of Frisians. So at the moment, I'm imagining, like, you know, cows rooting through dumpsters eating cake. Cows are very friendly. My dad can attract them by going in fields, and they come to him and lick him.
So what's the Observer got to offer?
Well, there's this thing called the man crush, and it's the most ridiculous, idiotic. Every straight bloke needs a man crush, and it's basically saying it's okay to fancy men. So it's got pictures of, like, Tom Cruise and Will Smith hugging, which I think is probably something to do with their Scientology rubbing. That's probably a thing that they do, and probably just rub each other and go with Xenu. Then they've got a really weird one of Mike Myers and Justin Timberlake. But it looks as though the picture is a picture of Mike Myers that looks like he's in Madame Tussauds or a wax museum of some sort. And it looks like Justin Timberlake has been going to this museum and getting his photograph taken with him, because it doesn't look real. But anyway, it's just a really fatuous, stupid article. But I thought this would give you the opportunity, Simon, to tell us all which men you fancy.
George Clooney.
Okay.
I think that's it, isn't it?
I don't know.
I pretended I had one on Bergerac for the sake of comedy a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're a cheap slut.
So it's about sexual attraction. It's not about just having affection for your mate.
Yeah.
That's pap, and I can't believe you're offering that up as something.
Well, I did it just to see, you know, what men you wanted to, you know, get down and jiggy with. I always thought it was Richard Brass. You just wanted to be in the same jumper as him.
Oh, no, yeah, no. Richard Brass's jumper. I'd happily snuggle up inside that with him. Yeah, definitely. Oh, I see. You've made my day now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, you feel like Felicity Kendall.
Oh, I do feel like Felicity Kendall. That's true.
Oh, no, no, no. No. Right, Jerry. There is a really cool article which I thought was... I read it thinking, oh, this is going to be absolute pap. But it's called So Are We All Tories Now? And it's the Sloanes and their political right wing, the Tories, used to drive 4x4s and like blood sports. Now they drive Priuses. Is that
Prius.
What the Prius is? Not Priuses.
But what's the plural of Prius?
Priuses.
Pricks.
Pricks. There we go, yeah. So the plural of Priuses is actually pricks. So now they drive pricks, embrace cycling, camping, pop festivals, grow your own veg and seaside holidays. So she's basically Carol
Cadwallader.
Brilliant name. It sounds like a bicycle being pushed down some stairs. Cadwallader. Because she is a proper, like, lentil-eating hippie from the olden days, you see. But now she realises she's got more in common with these driving pricks. Ginny Cooper tells me on the telephone, the poor, poor, dear, sweet Gordon and Sarah, she is so adorable and I can't bear it that people say such horrid things about them. What you can't get away from is that their holiday pics make it look like they're en route to having major surgery performed on their internal organs.
So I just need to... What's the article about?
About how the Tories have colonised the
middle ground.
Yeah, how basically an old Etonian son of a baronet, David Cameron, can pass himself off as electable.
By pretending that he's someone he's not, you mean?
Well, no, but he isn't pretending that he's not. He is that shallow and false. I've met David Cameron, and he is a hollow man.
But he's doing this thing at the moment where he's doing a holiday in Cornwall.
Yeah, no, that's what she's talking about. And it's all set up, photographed, and then he's going off to Turkey.
Yeah, for a 3-week proper holiday where he's not being photographed or having any interviews. Yeah, it makes me sick.
It really does.
But what's scary is it's working.
Yeah.
And people are always going on about how, oh, that's what Tony Blair did. No, it's not what Tony Blair did at all. Tony Blair certainly knew how to get his messages across, but he certainly never went with any kind of principles that he didn't particularly agree with simply just to get power. In fact, he probably alienated a lot of his party by sticking to principles he believed in. And whether you agree with those principles or not, he at least had an agenda.
Yeah.
And if a man like Cameron gets elected who has no agenda other than just to be in power, I think that's an incredibly dangerous thing.
She talks about the fact that Britain has the worst levels of social mobility of any country that it's possible to measure, and yet there's seemingly no desire to change the status quo, merely one's place in it. And she also talks about how the whole idea of meritocracy, she actually uses meritocracy, which I remember once I was going out with a man and he said, well, surely you believe in meritocracy, is he? And I went, no, no, of course I don't believe in meritocracy. I'm a girl. If we believed in meritocracy, as soon as I had a baby, that would be it. Done. No more.
It's also based on a concept written in a satirical novel.
Yeah, it is a joke.
Yeah.
But the idea that you can get through your own achievement all the way up the ladder is a really stupid one. Because as soon as you're at the top and, you know, you feel like you've earned your position in charge of people and powerful, then you kind of get a big head if you've earned it. If you've accidentally stumbled into power, like Boris Johnson, perhaps that, you know, you'd be slightly more bamboozled by it and a bit more sort of, you know, humble, which is what you want in your leaders. I mean, it's a really nice article. She kind of brings in all of these, like, different points together. She talks about how Jordan, even though she could pay for the table and all that sort of thing, she was chucked out of a Cartier polo match, even though she's worked with horses all her life, just because she used to be a glamour model. Yeah. And this whole rise of the word chav and how we used to hate the toffs and now we hate the poor people. And I've noticed that on the comedy circuit a lot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And she's right to a certain extent.
She's extremely right. It's really good art.
She's right. That's...
Yeah, she is sort of like talking about being right-wing and stuff.
So, for a tabloid, I got some interesting, quite thoughtful articles. And for The Observer, you've got that man-crush thing, which is very tabloidy.
Yeah, I've got the man-crush thing, but this, what I've got is one of the best examples of good Sunday supplement. Because are we all Tories now? It's the most fatuous, bland, oh, this is going nowhere. But it's written with humour and intellect, and it's just a really interesting article. I was going to take the piss out of it, and I actually really enjoyed it. So well done to Carol Cadwallader.
So a draw?
No. See, when you say draw, I win.
My favourite word now.
What's that?
Lifestyle.
Oh my god. I still say that Douglas Adams used the word lifestyle as a joke.
Yeah, and now it's become just the lifestyle norm.
It started an intergalactic war.
If only it would these days. But I've got an article, a double page spread in Fabulous magazine.
Fabulous?
Called Fabulous, yeah.
I've got Observer Woman, which sounds filthy.
Observer Woman. I could observe Felicity Kendall.
Yeah, I know you could, but, you know, leave her alone. She did that Rosemary in Time thing where she wasn't gay. That was the best thing ever. It was gardeners who were detectives, and all the murders happened in a garden whenever they were there. It was brilliant. I liked it a lot. It was so ridiculous, and they weren't gay.
Do you want to hear about my article or not?
Go on then.
It's called Here Comes the Bride, But No Groom in Sight. And it's about this woman who's planned her wedding, even though she's single and hasn't been in any kind of relationship for the last 4 years. She's got her dress, she's got her cake, she knows exactly where she's getting married, she knows where the reception's going to be. All she needs is a man.
That's awful.
It's really sad as well, because it's not even about marriage. It's about the wedding day and nothing else. So she's not even going, oh, I want to meet a man I want to spend the rest of my life with. It's about, I want to meet a man who'll let me get my wedding day like this. And it's just depressing, really.
That is proper depressing, Sam. You're horrible. I've got Ask Mariella Frostrup. All about this woman who's going through a divorce and, you know, actually they still get on, but she's still really upset and she now sees the futility of life, and Mariella Frostrup's going, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? You know, and you can write in and ask Mariella Frostrup questions.
And she'll just shrug at you and go, never mind.
Literally, who is Mariella? I mean, I know who she is because I've seen her picture and I recognise her, but I don't know what the hell she does.
She's a presenter, or she was a presenter, I think, and she had kind of a smoker's voice, which a lot of people thought
was
sexy.
Yeah, no, she had a very sexy voice, yeah. She does have a sexy voice, so I mean, don't take that away from her, because she has the face of a duck.
But this woman, she's just talking about how it's every girl's dream to get the perfect wedding day. And
I prefer funerals to weddings, generally. One, because everybody's relieved when it's over, but also because at a funeral, everybody tries to hide their emotions and is very kind of controlled. I can't stand outpouring of emotion. It just really upsets me. Even if it's really happy.
You realise what you just said?
What?
I can't stand outpouring of emotions. It really upsets me.
No, it does.
Basically, what you're saying is that you've got no article to compete with mine, and therefore I win this section.
Oh, I had Mariella Strup.
No, I've clearly won.
You haven't even let me begin. All you've done is whine about this woman. Why don't you marry her, Simon?
Your letters now.
Woohoo!
Well, I say letters. We've never really actually had a letter, to be fair.
No.
Emails, certainly. Posts on walls. Dear Izzy.
Hello.
This isn't for your agony uncle Colin, I'm afraid.
Oh, that hasn't kicked off at all yet. I'm very upset.
Dear Izzy, exactly how tall is Simon? And that's from Derek in Clydesdale.
Where's Clydesdale?
I don't know. Sounds like a bank.
How tall is Simon? I don't understand why you're mentioning that. I mean, to be honest, because me and Simon, we record this in separate places, we're not in the same studio. As a result, I've never met Simon Dunn. So that's pretty much a lie, but I'm going to say...
It's a very tactful answer as well. The answer is I'm very short.
Well, I am very tactful, Simon. I have a show called Matter of Tact, so I know all about tact.
And where is your show on, is it?
Oh, I see. We're going into the plugs, are we?
Oh, yeah.
My show is on at Liberty's, which is on 100 Camden High Street, and it runs from the 15th to the 21st, and it starts at 8:45. So if you go onto the Camden Fringe website, you can find it, which is camdenfringe.org, where they can also buy tickets to your show, Simon. Not that we're plugging.
No plugging.
Don't go to see Simon's show because of the quality of the comedy. Bring binoculars, is all I'm saying, and a magnifying glass, because... that's the only way you're going to be able to see how, you know...
tall.
Well, you see, I wouldn't even use the word tall, Simon.
I wouldn't even use the word short, to be honest. So anyway, do you have a letter?
I have Dear Sunday Supplement, which is quite nice.
Yeah, always a good start.
McCain does indeed sound like Boo Boo. However, Boo Boo does have a tie. Does this make McCain qualified for office? And that is from a man called Jason, who did not know where he comes from, so what's the point? I also had another man called Jason, but it's not the same Jason, write on my Facebook wall saying that he liked the show, so that's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. It was nice when people...
We get a few like that, just going, yeah, we like it, keep it up, and you're just like, oh, that's encouraging, but, you know.
I think if you want to get your letter read out, you just need to be really creatively insulting.
Yeah, but so he's became qualified for office because Boo Boo has a tie. I think that's one of the main reasons he might be. I can't think of any other reasons why he would be qualified. See, I think you and McCain are probably about the same. No, you're not the same height, are you? You're even smaller than Boo Boo.
No, I'm shorter than Boo Boo. I'm not as superstitious as he is, though.
McCain?
Oh, yeah, he's incredibly superstitious, and he gets really angry if he loses his lucky feather, apparently.
He gets really angry at a drop of a feather.
But doesn't Forrest Gump start with a feather and end with a feather? That's all I'm saying.
I think Forrest Gump is actually a very nice man. And why should we rate intelligence over any other faculty when it comes to leadership?
Is that a genuine question?
Not really.
Good. Anyway, we've got a new competition to announce.
Yes!
I think we're going to call it the competition competition.
Yes!
Because I like repetition.
And it was my idea, so don't let Simon fool you.
It was Izzy's idea, that was true.
I come up with ideas. All Simon does is whinge about editing.
So what's the idea then?
Well, basically, we're thinking of another competition we could come up with, and we couldn't think of a competition. So I suggested having a competition whereby people send in their entries, which are suggestions for a competition. So if you wanted like a tic-tac-toe competition on Sunday Supplement, you'd explain the rules and how that happens. And then the winner gets their competition made into an actual feature of the Sunday Supplement. And even better, gets their name read out on the air because we don't actually have any prizes. But it's still worth it. So if you've got a really good competition that will work really well in the Sunday Supplement, then I think you should send it in and we will praise you if it's good, and if it is bad we will curse you.
So this is kind of a competition to sit alongside Article or Farcical.
Yes.
So there you go, send your entries for the competition to sundaypodcast@hotmail.com,
or visit us on our Facebook group Sunday Supplement, or just visit our website sundaysupplement.com.
Let's talk about travel.
Oh yeah,
I have a 3-page special about the Olympics. But here's the thing, it's only got 2 pages in it.
Well, are you sure? Are you sure you're not just being completely incompetent? Have you looked on the page before?
Right, well, it's a 3-page special, clearly.
You idiot.
Well, okay.
Is it any good?
No.
No?
No. Nothing about the Olympics is good at all. Name one good thing about the Olympics.
They'll be over soon.
Well, that's true, yeah. And then we'll have to 4 whole years of how great London's going to be.
Oh, my God, it's going to be horrible, isn't it? No gigs for a week.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks, actually.
Comedy just stops whenever there's anything on TV to watch, and then it won't even be football or anything, so, like, vaguely...
Yeah, it'll be...
Ribbon twirling.
A man jumping into sand pits. It's what four-year-olds do.
Why? Why? Just get out of the swimming pool and play Splash. Why isn't Splash an Olympics sport?
Well, it should be, because all the other ones are what kids do, aren't they? Running around in circles, throwing things violently.
Crying.
Punching each other. So what have you got?
I've got Fat Camp for foie gras lovers. How amazing is that?
Was that Fat Camp for posh people or just people who just specifically like foie gras?
It's a luxury French boot camp. May sound like a joke, but there's nothing funny about the exercise regime, writes Kieran Falkner. I've got an instant weekend in Amsterdam, which is quite nice. But you've been to Amsterdam, haven't you, Simon?
Yes.
And you're one of the few people I know who've been to Amsterdam who didn't partake in the culture.
No, I had no interest in the coffee shops. I just spent all my time there looking for elephants.
Is that a particular type of sex shop?
No, actual elephants. I found 3 in the end. Admittedly, they were in the zoo, but, you know, that's where you would keep them.
Yeah. So while other people go to Amsterdam for the drugs and the sex...
You could just do that in your own house. Why go to Amsterdam to do it? Why not go to Amsterdam and actually enjoy Amsterdam rather than go, I get high, it's really funky. Twat.
Simon?
Yes.
There's this guy, right? And he goes into a pet shop. And he doesn't know what pet to buy. And the pet shop owner says, get this hamster, right? And or a gerbil. You could get a gerbil if you'd rather. And the guy said, no, I'll go for a hamster. I don't like the tails of the gerbil. So he keeps this hamster and he loves it and he cares for it. And it's beautiful and lovely. But 12 hours later, it is dead. And he's really upset because, you know, he'd actually bonded with this creature. And he couldn't believe that the pet shop owner had told him such a dud, right? So he goes back to the pet shop, right? He says, this won't do. I got really emotionally attached. How could you do this to me? I mean, it obviously didn't have much of a shelf. It was obviously quite old already. Why did you do this to me? And the pet shop was like, okay, I'm sorry. We'll refund your money. But I'll tell you what, have you still got the hamster? Have you buried him yet? And they went, no. So what you got to do is you've got to get your hamster, put it in a blender, mush it up, right? Put in a bit of sugar, mush it up, right? As much as you can, and then pour it all over your garden. And he goes, okay, I'll do that. And he did that. And the next morning, everywhere there are daffodils. Everywhere, like loads of daffodils all through it in his garden. It's really thick with daffodils. And he can't believe it. And he goes back to the pet shop. What's that all about? And he goes, oh, do you like him? He said, yeah, loads of daffodils. And the pet shop owner goes, daffodils? I thought you usually get tulips from Amsterdam.
Well, that's 2 minutes of my life I'm never getting back, isn't it? Did you literally just sit and tell me a pub joke?
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again.
You love it.
Time for our weekly dose of Simon baiting. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. Basically, we were going to play Article or Farcical.
With a giant shaved badger.
I'm not a shaved badger.
You're just a bald badger.
That's better. If anyone who doesn't know this, it's basically when Izzy will give me a list of articles from her paper, which this week is The Observer, and make one up. And it's my job to figure out which ones are the article and which one's the farcical. So take it away.
So, how to get a sex pack.
That's a pun on six pack, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depressed, repressed, objectified. Are men the new women?
Right.
Sunday best. But it's Sunday, as in Sunday's ice creams.
Right, okay, I see, with an E.
Yeah, and Countdown for Christmas.
What, as in getting the game show for Christmas?
No.
Okay, so you're just trying to wind me up, aren't you, with that one?
It made me angry.
Right, so can I ask questions about them?
You may ask questions.
Okay, sex pack, is that talking about whether six packs are sexy?
Nope, that is about a woman who has, like, a particular fitness studio, and she's a lesbian, and it's about all these women who have crushes on her from LA who travel to see her so they can get fit. But they all fancy her, all these straight women.
But that's quite clever, because it's a six pack about fitness, but a sex pack is in a pack of sexually obsessed women. Right, I'm going to say that's an article.
Okay.
I've lost already, haven't I? Just the tone of your voice tells me that I've lost. So, new women...
Yeah, depressed, repressed, objectified. Are men the new women?
Oh, God, that's just such self-pitying nonsense. Yeah, men, we're getting the real short end of the stick in this world. Bloody hell. That's an article. Sunday Best. Yeah, that's an article. It's the Christmas one.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think you put that in there just to get me annoyed. But I now, I'm pretty
sure. Are you
sure? No, but I've said Sex Pack's an article already. So, but yeah, so Christmas, that's the farcical.
Let's start with Depressed, Repressed, Objectified, Are Men the New Women? That is, unfortunately, an article. It is front-pagey type article, and it's like 3 pages of whining blokes.
I was going to say, does it almost read like Beaker off The Muppets has written it?
Therefore, the only thing that defines women is being depressed, repressed, and objectified.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Well, that is all I do every day, is I depress myself, I repress myself, and objectify myself all day in the mirror, boys. What was another one? Oh, yes, Sunday Best. Now, I thought you'd jump at that one, saying that it was definitely a farcical, because it sounds like the sort of crap pun you accuse me of doing all the time.
So what is it?
It's an article.
Yes, see, I'm getting good at this game.
Which leaves us between Countdown Till Christmas or How to Get a Sex Pack.
Yeah.
Do you want to change your mind?
No.
Well, Simon, you're right not to. You got it right. Back is an article and a made-up Countdown Till Christmas.
I win.
Yeah,
I win. I'm no longer repressed, depressed, or objectified.
Well, you're certainly only two of those things.
Horoscopes. We love horoscopes.
Yeah, because there is definitely a science to it, yeah? Because it just comes true, and I am a Gemini, and Simon is a Cancer in so many ways.
So what we're going to do, we're going to compare our own horoscopes across the papers to see who's going to have a better week, according
to
the
paper. Who wrote your horoscopes,
Mystic
Simon?
Mystic Meg.
Mystic Meg, nice. I've got Neil Spencer. So, obviously a man, therefore more in tune with the more earthy elements. A Mystic Meg is a woman, and therefore really crap at everything. So, for Gemini, which is mine, 21st of May to the 20th of June.
Actually, mine says May the 22nd to June the 21st. So they can't even agree on when the stargates change or whatever.
Well, to be fair, Simon, there are so many different types of horoscope that as soon as one is proven to be absolute hokum, then all the others go, you see, there's not the right one, without realising that it's all absolute Tommy rot of the highest rotitude. Anyway, not that we're already biased against them.
No.
Mine says there is a contagious quality to your horoscope. Let's hope you've been spreading infectious enthusiasm rather than a mystery virus.
So either you're going to have a happy week with everybody, or...
I'm going to sneeze on people.
He's kind of covering both bases there, really, isn't he?
But, you know, never mind. What does it say in your paper?
Now, Mystic Meg says of me...
Well, you've got quite an important week coming up, because you've got your show this week at the Camden Fringe, don't you? Starting on Thursday?
Little White Liar.
Little White Liar at... Where is it?
At Liberty's Bar at 5:45. Go to camdenfringe.org if you want to buy a ticket. But... according to Mystic Meg, words of love you've waited up to a year to hear could be spoken now, but a talent for singing may be a total surprise.
That would be a very big surprise.
I might actually now have to finish my show with a number.
Yeah, and that number should be a number one all over.
So what has Neil got in store for me?
It's neither the most dazzling nor the most impressive slice of your year, and the contract deal on which you have pinned hopes of financial salvation is likely lingering out of reach.
That's depressing. So Mr. Meg says I'm going to have a great week and finish my show on a tune, and your Neil bloke says you're probably going to lose money this week, Simon, with your pap artistic endeavour.
I can't stand horoscopes. They're just so stupid. Why do they pay these people money?
Because they make money for them.
How?
Well, people phone up and say, what's my life going to be like this week?
Why can't they just wait and find out?
Because then it's too late.
Well, it's not too late. It's happening now. I mean, honestly, I just don't understand how people can just think that this is vaguely true.
To hear more of Izzy's rant, call 0800-444-2444. So yeah, I made a joke. Calls cost £1 a minute.
£1 a minute? £100 a minute?
Is that how much your thoughts cost?
Yeah. If anybody wants to email me with their problems, we still haven't had any emails for problems.
Yeah, we're going to do a Dear Izzy segment after the August break.
Share your problems with me. I will give mystic solutions and also tell you to fuck off.
So we come to the end of the episode, and I think you're all dying to know who wins this week.
I've got great articles. I've got better paper. Come on, it's the Observer. It beats a tabloid. Shut up.
Yeah, but we should wait, shouldn't we? I'm coming from an underdog perspective. I thought, you know, what would be interesting would be throwing a tabloid against.
You're not even a dog. You're a ferret. Everything about my paper beats your paper. Everything. Even the adverts beat your paper.
All right, well, let's decide it on adverts then, shall we?
Fine.
Okay, randomly, what's the first advert in your glossy magazine?
Which one, the Observer Woman or the Observer Magazine?
You decide.
Okay, I'm going with the Observer Woman. Observer Woman from a tree. I have a very, very pretty picture, Sarah Jessica Parker, in a sort of wedding dressy type thing, with long black gloves, holding a massive bottle of perfume, so she looks really tiny. And on that bottle of perfume, it says, Covet! And she doesn't look like a horse in it, which is an achievement in and of itself.
I've got a woman who's considerably prettier than Sarah Jessica Parker.
But what's her name?
Denise.
You do not know!
No.
Right.
It's someone who looks a little bit like Claudia Schiffer. And she's holding a spear.
This is for Littlewoods, isn't it? I've seen those Trini and Susanna adverts.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, I lose because of Trini and Susanna, don't I?
Yes! Izzy is the winner! Oh, yeah, Simon is a loser.
Weirdly, Izzy wins this week.
Yeah, that's unusual. That's an unusual occurrence.
That's a weird turn of events. So the paper you should have bought last Sunday was The Observer. We're not here next week.
No.
So we're not here because I'm doing my show and... Yeah. Izzy's helping me.
I am helping. I will be there. I will be...
Heckling is probably a better word.
Heckling Simon's show and ruining it, going, yeah, but what about the gravitational mass? Yeah? Make some jokes up about that, Simon.
I have actually got a joke about lunar tidal forces, so piss you. Anyway,
great show that is.
The point is, we're not here. We will put up some sort of special... We've been recording extra bits over the last few weeks because we know we've got to fit into... We're not here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks without us. I mean, we will have a good show for you. Yeah. It's just that we won't be live.
That's
even
exactly
though we're
right.
Not theoretically live now, because both of us died shortly after recording this.
So if you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Our website is...
www.sundaysupplement.com.
There is no obviously in the address.
Okay. Also, if you can dig us, that'll be great. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, that'll be really cool. Because I don't think... Have we got any yet?
I don't know. I don't have iTunes on my computer. It's a hog.
I need to have a look and see if we've got any yet. Because, to be fair, I've asked for them and I haven't looked. So if you have written a review, thank you very much. But if you haven't, you should have done. Because, you know, we love you and you give us no affection.
So we'll see you in... Well, we won't see you. We'll be here.
We'll put something out for you while Mummy and Daddy are away.
Yeah.
If you look in the fridge, dear, you'll find some cold meat. Eat that. Put yourself to bed, you stupid brat. That's what my mum used to say to me when she used to go out whoring at night.
So, yeah, we'll be back in a fortnight. No, 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, but in 3 weeks. Oh, we're going to miss you guys. Night-night.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.